Happy to have with us now the Browns head coach, Pat Shurmur. Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm was talking about it earlier. I'm into day two of the off season. So this is, it's the end of last year and the beginning of next year. And it's an exciting time this year because I've got a decent idea what the off season looks like. Not a decent, a very detailed idea. I got an idea what we're going to do in terms of what we're going to do with the coaches before the players come back.
Right.
Our preparation for not only free agency but the draft. And then once we start the off-season program and get into the OTAs, got an idea of how we want to practice. So,
very detailed. In your office, I mean, you have this thing spelled out by the day. So right. If you could, without just going into the nitty details of all that, but why is it so important to have that as together as you do now? And what does it do for you? How does it help you going forward?
Well, obviously not having an off-season last year, I gained a real appreciation for how much gets done in the off season, whether you're working with the coaches or the players. And so I really wanted to sit back and detail the time and try to maximize it this year with the idea that there'll be a big change between year one and year two. And so that's why I spent so much time trying to get it just right. And so that's the way we'll approach it.
One of the big highlights from your season-ending news conference today was you talked about your pursuit, or made it official that you are going to pursue an offensive coordinator. Was that a decision that you always had in your mind from early in the season? Was it something you had to sort of arrive at later in the year after the final game? How did you come to that point?
Well, I think last year, I made an effort to hire an offensive coordinator, and what you're trying to find is a guy that can do the job and is a right fit. There's a lot of very smart coaches out there, but it's important to find a guy that understands what the role is going to be and then do a good job doing it. So what I wanted to do last year, and it was really terrific because I've got an outstanding offensive staff, and a lot of them overlapped on some of the things that the coordinator would do.
Right.
And I got a chance to really get to know some of the guys I hadn't worked with. And so that part was awesome. And then I did know that I was going to go and get a coordinator this year since I didn't get one last year. And so there was no big revelation. I knew it was going to happen, and now we're at the time of year when you get it done.
In any possible way, Pat, did not having that coordinator last year prove to be a negative? Did you at any point regret that it didn't work out for you so that you had the guy in your first season rather than year two?
I don't think it was a negative. There was obviously a lot more on my plate. But again, some of the overlap on the coordinator's roles was handled by the guys on the staff. But I think what will happen this year, you bring in another smart guy to the mix that has background in what we do offensively. I think that's gonna add, and then it'll allow me to step back in some ways and see things from top down just a little bit more. And I think that'll help as well.
You joked a little bit about, and I don't think you were totally joking, but you were talking about the being tired and feeling those are longer days, longer nights when you're really doing two jobs. So I think from that standpoint, it's probably just personally to you and professionally more helpful to have that extra set of hands taking some of the load off of your plate.
Well, I think so. And I think that the Cleveland Browns deserve that. Our players deserve that we get the very finest people in here to work with our players. And we're fortunate. We have an outstanding staff. And I watched some guys that didn't know the players, and the players didn't know the coaches. I watched them get up and running and work well together. And I think as we go forward next year, we all know each other better. And I think year two obviously will be a lot smoother than year one.
Browns coach Pat Shurmur joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Pat, the other thing about this role, you arrived at this team as a former offensive coordinator in the NFL, as someone rooted in offensive coaching as an assistant in your time in the league. Unlike Dick Geron, who is your defensive coordinator, you would not be coaching with your back to the offense. The offense is what you know and what you do. How will that dynamic work out with hiring someone who has your area of expertise and the two of you working together?
Well, I think it what it does is you have a guy that, you know, hopefully he's a guy that's going to be able to get it organized, direct it, run it, maybe even call it. And, you know, I want somebody that's got that kind of strength to add to the staff. And so, you know, I think that's a good thing. And then that'll allow me to interact with some of the players more that I haven't had a chance to, and really add some of what a head coach can do in those areas. And it's not an abnormal model, you know, and I think that's the thing that's interesting. I think there's 8 or 9 head coaches that call their own plays, and they still have coordinators. And then there's the rest of the team where the head coach doesn't. And so, you know, the models are time-tested. And the key is that as the head coach, I want to direct a team that wins games. And so I want to put in place whatever system based on our guidelines that is going to get that done.
And how important a trait is it that this coach has that expertise in working with a quarterback? And by that I mean the technical guidance. Now, you have a quarterback's coach mm-hmm. and the staff in Mark Whipple. I know you left open the possibility that you could hire from within, fill the spot from within, if and possibly out from the outside. But is that quality imperative, that this person is also going to guide the quarterback specifically and work with him to improve in addition to the overall oversight of the offense?
Yeah, I think you find a lot of coordinators have had experience with quarterbacks, you know, but that's not something that is imperative. I think it comes with sometimes the coordinator DNA, but I think, you know, Mark does an outstanding job with the quarterbacks. I tend to keep one eye on him. And whoever the coordinator is, because the quarterback's such an important position, and we'll keep in mind what the quarterback can do. And we're all really charged with developing that guy.
And, you know, a name you mentioned about speaking the same language, having a guy who speaks the same language, which obviously reflects on someone who would know the West Coast offense or the system that you run as well as you do or uses the same terminology as you use. And that has led to a lot of the speculation that Brad Childress, who's available, would be a candidate. You addressed his name in the press conference. You work together in Philly. You have a great rapport. He was here this summer for training camp, I know, on this show, but also watched some tape with you. Talk about Brad as a possible candidate.
Well, I'm going to keep my actual candidates, you know, private, but heck, it's a natural association to make. Brad and I worked together for a long time. We're great friends. We've shared a lot. We used to jog together. And he's an accomplished coach in this league. Heck, I think he's won 40 games as the head coach of the Vikings. And so I know Brad well, and he's an outstanding coach. And, again, I'm going to try to keep this private. But it was a natural connection to make since we had worked together. But again, I think it's important that there are a lot of great candidates that to fill any job. Hmm. It's important to get a guy that's very well accomplished, that's the right fit. And I think that's the thing that I got to search for.
I was going to ask you, how difficult a process do you expect? You just said there are, you know, good candidates out there. We also know this is a league in flux, changes being made on different staffs that can open free people up. But overall, do you see it as a real difficult challenge or one that you're confident you can come away with what you're seeking?
No, I think we can, because I believe in what we're doing here. I believe in the players that we're trying to get to play over the top, and I believe in the direction we're going to go to improve our team with how we do things by adding new players, whether it be through free agency or the draft. You know, so I believe in the direction. And I think that's an easy thing for me to try to convince a talented guy to either come here and be the coordinator or do it from within.
Browns coach Pat Shurmur joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We will have much more coming up with him. Stick around for more on ESPN 850 WKNR. Back with Browns coach Pat Shurmur here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Pat, one of the things you addressed in your news conference and a theme throughout this year was getting to know your team after a very unusual offseason and really a process that took probably every bit of this season to happen for you to really get to know players and for them to get to know you. How did you feel that went overall? And number two, how much of a detriment was it to just the success you tried to have this year when you really don't know each other and didn't have that offseason to get to know each other?
Well, I think I got to know our team well, but the challenge is to do that and win games. And in my opinion, we fell short of the win part. So, and again, I learned a little bit more about our guys as I sat down and visited with all of them. Well, not all of them, but most of the guys I spoke to yesterday. I learned a little bit more about them as they get ready for an off season and how they're going to approach it. And so, you know, I think that's more of what you come away with as you work with people, you know, and you can be told that so-and-so is this or so-and-so is that, but until you actually work with them, that's when you get a real feel for who they are.
And when you sat down and have had conversations with Colt McCoy,
yeah,
has it been sort of an unspoken or a spoken situation where there's a guy who certainly wants to know about his future, went into this year hoping to convince you that he's your guy beyond this year? How do those conversations go, A, and B, how do you see the future for Colt with this football team?
Well, I've talked about him quite a bit this year, and I think he's a guy that's improved a great deal. And I think he's a young man that works extremely hard, I'm looking forward to seeing him even develop more in this off season, and to see how it'll translate into year two. And so I think that's the important thing, is that these guys are eager to get to work. There's a certain amount of work that needs to get done as we prepare for 2012 season. And so I think we're all on the same page, he and I, and we had those conversations, and I think he's eager to really get away for a little while, and then when it's time to get back to work, get at it.
Did his missing those three games with a concussion in any way compromise your ability to fully analyze and evaluate what he's all about? Do you sit here wishing, regretting that you didn't have 16 games instead of 13 to watch him play?
No, I don't regret it, because I got a chance to learn about Seneca, which I think is equally important. We watched Colt improve through 13 games. And so we need to build on that for both guys. And so, no, I don't think it hurt me in his evaluation. And now as we move into the off season, we both guys just need to build on those performances.
What are the quarterback position is so tied to, I mean, obviously success in general in the NFL, but to you specifically, your strength, your wheelhouse, and what allowed you in large part to get this job here. What are the qualities that ideally you want to see in that position from whoever is under center for you in 2012 and beyond?
Well, you obviously need a guy that's got the skill and ability and the stature to play the position. Yeah, I think that's kind of unwritten. But then you're looking for guys that are very good decision makers, are accurate passers, and then have a sense of timing. And I think that's important. And then understand that, you know, you're usually rewarded more than you should be for wins, and you're criticized more than you should be for losses. That's just part of it. And be able to handle and deal with whatever comes. Now, I think, you know, that's a mouthful right there. You know, because you need a guy that's going to make good decisions, which means he'll eliminate turning over the football. And you need a guy that's going to lead you to victories, which means you got to get the ball in the end zone. And
right.
So, you know, if you have all those things I talked about, if you're a good decision maker, you understand timing, you're an accurate thrower, and the people around you are doing all things the right way, then you should be able to get the ball in the end zone as many times as you need to win the game. In some games, it's a couple of scores. Some games, it's got to be 4, 5, 6, whatever it takes. And I think that's what you ultimately evaluate coaches and quarterbacks on is wins.
Pat? Pat Shurmur, Browns coach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You mentioned one of the players that you spoke with yesterday in the clean out the locker room day for the team was Peyton Hillis, and having an opportunity to really, I guess, sit with him and talk with him. And his future is a question mark because of for contractual reasons, obviously. But what did you learn anything from that conversation, maybe that you didn't know about him before? And what is your perspective on what his role could possibly be for this team going forward?
Well, we talked more about what happened this year and how there was, you know, high hopes and expectations to have an outstanding season. And then we talked about how he had to deal with returning from injury. We talked about how he had some good performances here at the end of the year, you know, and that's really what we talked about, and how it was a little bit of a mini journey for him. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of an excitement of what might be on the horizon. But, you know, I think we'll let all that kind of unfold as it happens. But it felt, you know, just like all the players, you get to know them, and after working with them, you learn a lot about them. So we just kind of rehashed that a little bit and then talked about, you know, his plans for the offseason and, you know, moving forward.
The quarterback position is going to linger as one of the main questions, obviously, through this offseason for whatever the Browns do going forward. But after that, running back's going to be a not too distant second. So those are those are two areas, as you sit here as head coach, how do you resolve that in your mind, that you just have you're optimistic that it'll just work itself out, or, you know, do you have your firm plan kind of set as to how this will work out? Because it's so vital to have those two right.
Yeah. Well, we gotta have a couple of secrets here. But, you know, I think as we go forward, the goal is to get the in those two positions, the two best players that we can. And then however we do it, you know, there's guys here that we want to develop. And then we'll just look at any and all avenues to make sure that we get guys that are productive and doing the right thing at both quarterback and running back. And so, you know, we'll just have to see how it unfolds.
What was your biggest surprise as a head coach? What part of the job maybe just surprised you the most that you didn't necessarily anticipate would be the case?
That there are no surprises. You know, I made the comment earlier today that in our first practice before anything got going, Joe Sheehan walked up to me and said, "You just lost the punter." Yeah, we were in Reggie
Hodges,
obviously.
Achilles.
Pulled his Achilles. And so I was like, wow, we haven't really done much yet. So I guess that reminded me that there really are no surprises. And when you're working with a lot of highly competitive guys in situations where guys are fighting to win, you know, it's a lot of fun stuff.
You have presented yourself, your demeanor, to me at least, has always been that of a guy where this job has never seemed too big. Just kind of watching you on a fairly regular basis day to day, talking with you casually and through these interviews. But I wonder if inside how you've coped with that. Has it ever felt at times like it's bigger than you want it to be and have to find ways to kind of narrow it down or what? How have you sort of seen the job as a whole?
Well, I'd have to credit the guys that I learned this profession from. You know, my uncle, Andy Reid, working for Steve Spagnuolo. You know, we two situations, both in Philadelphia and in St. Louis, where we're trying to build something. And I was fortunate to be in Philly to enjoy a lot of the victories. And so, you know, I think as you go through things, then you kind of remember how to handle it when it happens again. There's some things I learned this year that I'll never do again. I think that's part of what we all go through, no matter how long you're in a job. And so those are the things that I think about. If I don't have a strong opinion about something that comes up, I'll think how we did it back in Philadelphia or how we handled that situation in St. Louis or maybe how my old coach at Michigan State, George Perlis, might have handled it. And go with that. So those are the principles I live by. And then as a new situation, you know, crops up, I've got a very experienced staff of guys that I'll say, hey, listen, what do you guys think? And, you know, I try to create an environment where they're willing to share. And so then can go that way.
What won't you ever do again?
That's my private list.
I just thought I'd ask. You put it out there, and I said, hey.
And I think we can all, whether we'll admit it or not, as we go through life, you know, we all develop the things and the boundaries. And that, you know what, that didn't work. Or, you know what, I knew that wasn't going to work. Darn it, I should have trusted my judgment. Those types of things. And, you know, you learn what you know.
Last thing, because it ties into this, but everybody that I've ever been around in this business, especially coaches, say you got to be yourself. You
right.
can't pretend to be, try to be somebody else, or you won't be that person or yourself. But is there anything that you would be more mindful of changing about you and your approach to coaching going forward? Is there any part of it, or is the Pat Shermer we saw in 2011 going to be the same guy we see going forward?
Well, I hope I'm better, you know, and I think we're all – I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, none of us are. I think it's wrong if we try to change, but we're all charged with getting better and improving. And there are some things. You know, I tend to try to be calm, but you know, I'm an old center, so I understand the emotions, and I tend to carry them on my sleeve a little bit too much at times, whether it's obvious or not. And you know, I think that's natural and genuine, but you know, maybe not do that quite as much.
Well, thank you so much, and look forward to talking with you again during the course of the offseason.
All right, look forward to it.
Browns coach Pat Shermer joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.